Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey guys, welcome to You Up the Podcast. I'm back. I haven't hosted this bitch for a while, but I'm back.
Me and
done
Tom,
with Dancing with the Stars.
Me and Tom been holding down the fort.
You really have. Thank you so much. Did you just do choo-choo?
I choo-chooed.
Wasn't your dad killed by a train?
Yeah, it was in remembrance of him.
Oh, that's nice. That's sweet.
Choo-choo, Dad.
We were just talking about your dad because you're wearing your dad's old jacket. It's like this vintage, amazing denim jacket that I complimented.
Is that the one he died in?
No.
Oh.
No, it would be covered in blood and... guts.
Yeah, that's so
you
the
can, power wash.
Power wash a jacket.
But Ian, I love that jacket so much. It's so cool that you get to wear your dead dad's clothing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's in style.
Yeah, most
I don't
people
mean that with any
spend so much
humor.
Money for these kinds of clothes, right. And all I had to do was just have a lifetime of pain.
Right,
and but at least I look good.
And but
you
know?
No
money.
No.
Like
no.
Your family was left with no money because your dad died.
Right, so. But at least I have like cool clothes for the fall.
Yeah, you know? But if your dad would have been around, maybe you'd have like money to buy cool clothes
yeah.
And not have to just rely on your dad.
And
dad's.
His love still.
And his love.
Yeah.
Now, did you look inside the jacket for any kind of?
Yeah, I was looking for like notes on like how to have a catch or like shave or you know deal with rejection or be like a fully formed man, but
nothing.
No.
Okay.
No, there and were some cigarettes.
Okay, but your mom probably took up the slack for those other things, right?
Well, it's kind of hard to have like a catch when you're in like a depression-induced coma for decades. But
right.
I'm just happy to be here and I look good.
You do. I love you, Ian.
Love
Andrew
you
Collin
too.
Is also here. Ian yeah. Fidance, Andrew Collin, dream
yeah.
team.
My dad's alive.
Yeah.
You son
for
of
now.
A bitch.
For now.
I don't really like his clothes anyways, though.
You, yeah, know who's, kinda... you know what dead man's clothes you do like? Anthony
Bourdain.
After Anthony Bourdain killed himself, Andrew was like, yeah, I think I'm going to dress more like Anthony Bourdain. I just... Yes, he bought an outfit the week after Anthony died, and he was like...
The week?
I think... It was like a couple days.
It was an hour after I read the news.
And you went out and bought...
I ran to Clark's to get his boots. But the ones that he has are very expensive. And so I bought the cheaper version of Anthony Bourdain. But I hope no one notices.
Right.
That'd be embarrassing.
See, vintage is in. I look good because I look like I'm dressed like a Lynyrd Skynyrd cover band.
The whole band.
Vintage is way better than buying retail. I just got to say, I always feel better because I feel like, first of all, I'm recycling. Mm-hmm. So I'm not contributing to more trash for the planet. Mm-hmm. And also, you have a piece that no one else has. It's always better to go vintage. Yeah. We're going
but
vintage
most
today.
Most vintage
on the podcast.
Clothes is dead people's clothes. Probably.
Have you ever tried to drop off like vintage clothes and they're like, your size... Your short legs and wide hips can't. No
I used
one
to have a bit
this.
About it, like dropping off clothes as a woman to like Buffalo Exchange or Plato's Closet.
What happened. Yeah,
there's always a girl
so
going through
rejection.
Your bag. I had a joke where it's the worst rejection because you bring in all these things that you were wearing yesterday. You know, it's not like the
and
stuff.
And you thought they were cool.
Yeah, and she's going through it and she's like, literally can't take. I've had so many girls go through the whole thing and go, "I'm sorry, we can't take it. You know, it's either out of style or it's soiled." And I'm like, soiled? First of all,
soiled?
This is not my fourth
a snail
grade.
Trail? What the hell is it?
These aren't my fourth grade bed sheets. I haven't soiled anything since I would wet the bed. And but she just, it's a nice way to say dirty, like, you know, pit stains. And the end of the joke was, we can't take any of these clothes, but we will take this garbage bag you brought them in. Is this force flex? We don't get these often. So they like pay me for the garbage bag I haul them in on. On the show today, the first clip we have from our SiriusXM show, which by the way, if you want to listen to our full show on Sirius, you can get a SiriusXM subscription. It's way cheaper than you think it is. But right now you can currently download the SiriusXM app and use it for 3 days a month for free, completely free. They have some kind of thing where you can use the XM app, SiriusXM app, for 3 days a month free. So you can listen to us unabridged for 3 days every month.
Unabridged?
Because this podcast is abridged.
Yes.
It's an abridged version of the show, right? I don't know the difference between those words. Much like fiction and nonfiction, you're like, which one is
that
which?
That took me a while.
I would assume that about you.
Fiction is fake, I think.
Yes,
that's
it
how
is.
I remember it.
It is.
Do you ever?
How did you just?
Do you ever mix up West and East when you're walking around New York?
Not New York, no.
Uh-huh. All right. Well.
But
thought I'd relate.
Thanks for chiming in, Andrew. Appreciate that.
Yeah, we really. Well, this this first clip is from when last this past week, Monday night, I was on Dancing with the Stars. I wasn't able to be in studio that day, but Ben Glebe was there, Tom Tokar was there, Lizzie Cooperman, Carlisle Forrester, and they got into a story about a ride Tom had in a cab, and then it just got funny from there. Here, listen to a clip from just this past Monday. I was not there, but I was there in spirit.
Me and Noah and Jen are also in LA, I should say. The stars of the New York studio are now the stars of the LA studio. Noah, Jen, how are you guys doing?
Thank you.
Great. Yeah, we're good.
We all flew in yesterday and had our separate travel stories. I had some brutal Uber luck. Have you ever had this? Like, I'm used to LA Ubers being cheap, but like, yesterday I had to go to the Ha Ha Comedy Cafe.
No. No. On Lancashire?
Yep.
Okay.
Anything.
I mean, I don't want to get banned, but.
Yeah, you know. I won't say. I will say, you know, I had a fine time there, but boy, if I had known what I was in for, I would have gone straight to my sister's place.
Right. Speaking of which, I'll be at the Ha Ha Comedy Cafe October 23rd. Yeah. Everybody come out. I'll be headlining.
I love the Ha Ha. Shout out to Jack.
Anyway, continue, you guys.
Jack's a good boy. Yeah, Jack's a good man. Jack Jr. Is rep by my manager. He's a nice man, and they were very sweet to put me on. I was in a rush. It was a whole thing, but it was a fun show. I had a good time there, I should say. I'm having
Hey,
a
there's
time.
Always a crowd.
That's true, but
it's a full room.
Boy, that sounds so ominous. How's that room? Well, there's always a crowd. That's not a thing you want to hear. They might have pitchforks and torches or whatever, but they're there. Yeah, I rush over there, and then but the problem is, I'm looking at Ubers. On the plane, it says it's $25 for like an Uber Express or whatever. I'm like, all right, that's fine. A little higher than I'm used to here, but that's fine. I get my bag. It jumps up to $100 for an Uber Express.
For an Express?
Express.
What?
And it's like fares are slightly higher than normal. Slightly? and I was so I have to wait. I'm doing that game of like closing it out, reopening it. It dips back down to 40 for an Uber X. And I was like, this is much better. I can do that. I'm like on the edge of missing my spot or whatever. And then I order it. 10 minutes go by, and I get a message that's like, there are no Uber X's. And it makes me order again. And it's back to 100. Nightmare. What? So then it takes this guy 30 minutes to get to the airport once I order it. And he calls me. He's like, traffic is bad. It's brutal. But you know what? I made it to the Ha Ha Comedy Cafe. Those people were very nice. A man after me did Family Guy impressions for 10 minutes.
Right. It's a good thing you're so rich, right, Tom?
What do you mean?
That I can spend $100 bucks is nothing
to spend $30 at a
Money
comedy club.
Money bags to car over
That's
here.
That's right.
I did an UberX for the first time recently. I mean, an Uber Express for the first time.
Yeah.
Express pool.
Uh-huh.
And just so I could kind of have the experience of traveling with others and to save money, obviously. And it was horrible. Horrible.
Yeah.
I was in the back seat with this drunk.
Oh,
he was
man.
Drunk, and he just, after like 5 minutes, he was like, this is bullshit. This is bullshit. We're not getting there fast enough. And I said, sir, who are you mad at? There's cars in front of us.
Yeah.
We're in traffic. He's like, no. This is fucking bullshit. I'm like, you don't have to cuss. He goes, I didn't cuss. You just said fucking. I did not say fucking. I'm secretively Instagram storying this guy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, that's a dangerous game to play, man.
I know it is.
I'm always worried I'm going to get caught doing that shit.
I know,
and people
I know.
Will message you and be like, hey, it's actually really rude,
it is
to,
really
like,
rude to, do,
to
it.
Do that. And I'm like, yeah, but
I only show
it's
the face
rude
for
to
a
do
second.
What, to
Insta story people.
Without their permission.
Oh, they're not
like,
aware.
Yeah.
I've
well,
done it to people.
I have my murder Uber driver all on video. We talked about that another
that
episode.
That was actually
but
rude of you to do, Lizzie. You're not supposed to tape people who tell you that they're murderers. He has a right
so
as
crazy.
A murderer to be in public.
What happened to you guys?
Yeah, you guys had like the opposite experience of me. Yeah, I was like, I was already, Jen have was like, Jen comes in and I'm like, oh my God, my Uber here is crazy. And she was like, yeah, ours was crazy too.
We had so
such an amazing day yesterday. First of all, it started with a fire on our plane.
Oh my god! Oh my god! So that's like
a
the flight
fire?
Just the flight takes off. It's like 10 minutes. We're in the air. You know, me and Noah are chit chatting. We're like having the great old
time.
You're
in the air.
We're in the air.
We're in the air.
And then all of a sudden we hear bleep. Like we're in the back too. So we just hear like beeping going on. I smell smoke. This lady is like fanning the back of the thing, and I'm like, Noah. Like I grab onto her hand. Like, Noah, we're gonna like, what's going on? She like looks back like, oh, it's just a fire. I was like, oh no, what do you mean? Like,
she's from Israel. The guy, they do all kinds of shit. There's fires on every plane.
It's only like, a burning plane. Don't worry about it.
What do you mean, just a fire? I was like,
it's just a pussy. It's only a burning plane. Don't be a pussy.
In my family, you on fire all the time.
It was so funny how she said it so casually and calm. It was so,
it's just a fire.
And then she just like kept talking. Like I was like, but she's still fanning the back. You still smell the smoke.
This is why I'm never calm at the radio, because Noah will be like, no, things are fine. It's like, no, you're fine when there's a fire.
Did the plane have to land? What happened?
No.
Yeah, because what do you do if there's a fire drill on a plane?
I didn't want to find out. Yeah.
This is your captain speaking. Our plane was just on fire. God. We're going to stay up here and just risk it.
They just take Talking Rain sparkling water and start drizzling it on the flames.
Again, we don't know if a hole's been burned into the fuselage or cabin. We're going to risk it, and we're going to stay up here.
We're going to roll down the window and hope for the best.
We've asked our flight attendants to not bring beverage service to the rows that are aflame in the back of the airplane. We're only going to row 27D.
Please unbuckle your seatbelts. We hope that will do something.
Yes. That was Monday's show. From Tuesday's show coming up, we had Hamish Blake back in studio, which one of the funniest people I will ever know and the kindest people. So quick. This is truly the hardest I've laughed in the show in a really long time. And I wasn't even going to go into studio this day because I had to tape Dancing with the Stars and get eliminated that night. But I just needed a boost of energy before going in to a full day of shooting, even though I had come off of a day the night before of being critiqued really cruelly by judges and not having the best showing. But I went into studio and I laughed my ass off. Come laugh with us. This is Hamish Blake, me, Tom Takkar, and Carlisle Forrester in studio this past Tuesday talking about dancing and stay for the aunt joke. It's one of my favorite things that's happened on the show. Enjoy. Tonight, though, for my backdrop, uh-oh, I have Tinashe's name. So that's going to be exciting.
Use that.
She had her name in the background. I literally asked if I could have Tinashe's name
that's
behind
really
me
as
a bit. And
that would
they
be
didn't
hilarious.
Even understand how that would be funny. Yeah. Like, this isn't a show that they understand irony or.
I mean, I got a lot of questions. Can we dig into it?
I have about 30 minutes.
You start with like a big fluffy red kind of tutu.
Yes.
I don't understand the dancing terms, but like a sort of demure tutu. A skirt.
Yes, a demure tutu. I like that.
Like a sort of a low-key tutu.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then it gets ripped off.
Yes.
You and your boy, Glem.
Glem would
it's
be better.
It's worse than what you're saying.
It's the glamorous.
Worse.
It is much worse.
Because I felt my mouth went to say Gleb, and I was like, no, that's
no, and
offensive.
That's what his parents.
It's insulting.
His parents should have had that same.
It seems like a Russian slur or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like you go and be a Gleb in the coal mines. But how hard did you have to practice that ripoff?
That was we had to put the Velcro perfectly on. I didn't have time to practice it because I was injured yesterday, so I didn't get to run my dance at all. I didn't get to do one dance step the whole day before, which everyone did hours
of
practice.
Course, last
and
minute.
Camera blocking, and I only did my camera blocking yesterday super early, and I was still injured, so I couldn't do it even full out.
And because you had some great barrels. I think you won, as in looking down the lens, right?
Oh, thank you. I didn't know what that meant.
You...
I was like, I did not have barrels
you
on my
barrel
set.
Roll?
I just
sorry.
If you remember,
barrels.
I was dancing
they're
in a gymnasium.
They're called legs, and I work very hard. Damn, you got some fun. You got some good barrels. With a bend in the middle, so it wouldn't be a good gun barrel because it kinks. It has a knee. No, like as in when you look down at the barrel
right,
of the camera.
Yes, yes.
I was like, Nikki's got this the best. Because everyone else is a little uncertain where the camera was. But your opening move, you're on a solid 10. With just like glaring down the
I started out strong. And then, I did get lost in it. I just had too much fun. And tonight I get to do the same style of dance again. And I get to like, I'm going to do what the judges said and keep it more. Tonight I'm going to have a better night. And I've already done it, so I'm not like as nervous. I'm just this is a dancing show. I'm just gonna have fun try my hardest. But like,
how does it feel being in that ballroom with all those people? Like 2 seconds before you're about to start, like what was going?
Well, the weird
head?
Thing was everyone had a commercial break before their dance.
That was
and
weird.
I didn't.
Yeah.
And
that was
I,
so
all
weird.
All of a sudden, the dance they got those scores before me, and then my package started playing, and you have a minute. You see a minute countdown, and I go. Wait, we're not going to commercial? I thought I was going to have a second.
Everyone else had one. That was so weird. It was confusing for the audience, too.
Yeah.
Because we were like, whoa. What? I guess we're just going
back.
When you're doing stand-up or something, right, or a show or any other TV show, do you have like a pre... Like, you know when you're meant to be on, right? Like,
yes.
You have a ritual that you like to go through that you're kind of like, you know the steps. You know, like, you got, like, even if it's 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever, just to get in the right head zone, go through your mental checklist.
Yes.
This is a whole new thing.
This is a whole new discipline. I didn't have an idea of what that was going to be like beforehand. Gleb was like, don't watch the package because they play a package before and that can get in your head a lot of times. But I was watching the package and I was like, oh, I'm killing it. Like, the jokes are hitting. I'm glad they picked that joke. I'm glad they picked, like... Yeah. I was actually, it was putting me in a better mood, and he was like, stay focused. And I'm like, no, you, I need this right now because that is what I'm good at, and this is what I'm not good at, and I need to like use that energy. And so then I go, wait, are we starting? He's like, yeah, this is happening now. And I'm like, oh, and then they do, before every song, there's a tick, 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 tick. Everyone has that. So you, and then the music starts so you can time it. But, and then it was just like happening. And I was like, oh, like, I don't know. There was no preparation.
Hey, I feel like we have to say on air, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was so great.
Thank you. Like it was fine.
Just people that,
no,
you
know, it was great.
I don't know
a lot of
people
can
watch it. It was great because we're all watching with the same. What I found funny about the show was the judges. I've never watched it. We've had like 10 seasons in Australia. Just hasn't really been on my radar.
Yeah.
The judges obviously are like, we're going to judge you to a professional, like, you know, to a professional dancer standard to see if you could tour perhaps one day, like a European tour with the Black Eyed Peas, if you could.
Yeah.
You could maybe not America, but like a pretty good tour with the Black Eyed Peas. Could you be a dancer? And we're all watching it as just humans going, you could do nothing. And now, like, our whole criteria is obviously just like, if you didn't fuck it up, that's 10 out of 10.
Right.
That's how we think.
That's how I felt.
I thought you killed it. But they go, which I think is very unfair, no fuck ups gets you in the game. And then you would do something good on top of that.
It's crazy.
And that's how the practice has been. It's like, he's just been like, your fingers aren't doing the right thing. Like, and I'm like, I'm just worried about my arm even going in that kind of direction.
Yeah. Is it hard not to be sometimes a bit disrespectful of dancing? Because I feel like I would go, man, I don't care what my hands are doing.
I literally
And then if they're like, well, the judges will care. And I go, well, I don't care what the judges think.
Right.
Because I'm judging this off. If I did this at a party, how bananas would people go?
People would have gone nuts.
And I am off the charts, baby, with what I'm doing currently.
Yeah.
I don't care about where my chin sits. No one does. This is all party dancing.
Just knowing what she went through, though, the day before, literally, if you would have seen her in the level of pain,
I couldn't move. And they had me play it down because they were gonna there was a lot of politics involved in it because it was like if you admit how much pain you're in, the producers might not want you in the show. Because I made the mistake when I did Last Comic Standing my senior year of college, because on air I said, if I make it on the show, I'm going to drop out of school. And I said that, and the producers were like, we're not going to put you through because you just said you'll drop out of school and we don't want to be responsible for taking a kid out of school.
We're the guys that dumbed down America.
Yes, exactly.
Cost America another college
even
degree.
Even though you are. And
yeah,
that's
they already
what you
did.
And that's
they already
what
did.
You did. You
they
took me out
They put Ant
of school.
On TV. They already did it.
Yeah. Good point.
And no so offense to Ant. I'm a big fan.
A huge Ant fan of the animal, of
course,
the creature.
Of course.
Yeah, it carries what? Five times your body weight? Five times your body weight? That's insane. Well done.
It is crazy.
Great job. You have a great diet. You obviously take care of yourself. You're lifting all that weight.
A lot of weight.
So many leaves.
They're so muscly.
They are. Like, ants are incredible. I love ants. I never
And it's crazy, up. Isn't it? It's not really muscles. Just, they're just rigid.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. It's not muscle.
No, that's what I'm going for. That's my new. Like, I go to the gym and I'm like, I don't want to gain muscle. I'm not interested in protein. No. Make me more
that's
rigid.
That's all for show.
I want to be structurally rigid like an ant. Because if I can take an old piece of frosting to my queen, that's what I'm about. I need to carry about 500 kilograms of frosting to my wife, and I'm going to do it through rigidity.
To a personal trainer with those goals. I would love it so
make me an ant, baby. I don't care if you have to fuse my elbows.
That should be what Ant-Man is.
Yeah, I know.
It?
Yeah, no, it's not what it is. I mean, he's like, he just has a suit that does the stuff. But he should be going to the gym every day.
Can he carry like 100 times or 5 times his weight? Is that like a part of what Ant-Man is?
I'm pretty sure that he can do that, yeah.
Okay.
Because he can
shrink. It's been a minute since I've seen it.
He can shrink it down. He can shrink down, isn't it? Like one of the key features of an ant is smallness as well as rigidity.
Of course.
But that's the big bonus, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shrinking down, that's big. He can like, I think he can fly. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff he can do.
Check out.
Yeah.
Not at all. So what does he need the wasp for?
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe
he
rides the wasp.
He's also your mom's sister.
Yeah, that is true. That's his biggest power. he gives you shirts that don't quite fit on Christmas. And they have references on them you don't care about.
And
like,
there's
vote
a receipt in there somewhere. If you want to take it back, there's a receipt in there.
Yeah, exactly.
I won't be hurt. I really
won't
be hurt.
But you just never like anything I get you.
That's Ant-Man. How did we even get on this?
Well, we were talking about rigidity for a while.
Your shoulder.
I did feel like an ant. But so I literally woke up 2 days. So yeah, I couldn't really talk about how injured I was, and also I was trying not to talk about it a lot because I realized that pain, even when you have, I had a sprain, like a tear, like, which is what I learned what a sprain is, in my back from getting a lift 3 days ago for a dance that I probably won't even air on TV because I'll be voted off before then.
Vote tonight.
Yeah, I think it's closed right now.
You got to vote on the live show tonight for me to say
1-800-868-3412. We'll do it online.
Please vote. You can vote up to 13 times. But I, like, the Carlisle woke up to me
not
crying.
A normal election.
It's not a normal election. This 13. Should be the way it is done.
It would
less corrupt.
It would wreck gerrymandering or whatever
that
was.
Right.
But you know what? I'm going to give 6 to the Democrats, 6 to the Republicans, and 1 for me. Yeah. I don't want to abuse the system.
Oh my God, you could do that. I am wondering why 13. Why not just
that
give everyone 1?
That is a weird number. Yeah.
Because like, if you do 13, you do 1. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's just
some
people
are just
going to
do 1, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But 13 is a weird number. For
it's like being able to give someone 13 stars. Like,
yes.
I think 12.
Yeah.
13 is
it's a random number.
First of all, it's unlucky, right?
Yeah.
Is it 13 unlucky?
I believe that's true.
Yes, it'd be bad luck.
Anyway, so keep going.
But yeah, so I was really badly injured a couple days ago, and Carlisle woke up to me literally in my room going, Carlisle! And I was like laying on my bed. I couldn't even put on my sports bra. Like, I was just tangled in it, and I was like, and I was going,
slutty boxes tough.
I was wearing part of the costume that she is. And it was the worst like muscle pain I've ever been through. And I couldn't move yesterday. So the fact that I wanted to actually showcase that, because the fact that I could move, but then it was like such a miraculous recovery that I thought people would call bullshit on me even being injured. Mm-hmm. But literally I just started yesterday morning. I got an email from Aaron from Bloomington. Aaron,
oh yeah.
What's
yeah.
her last name?
Well, there's two of them. I know you mean.
Aaron, she's a gymnastics coach. Anyway, she's a gymnastics coach. She emailed me and was like, I know you're injured. And I tell all my girls when they get injured, it, you know, part of it's an injury, but it's also like the way you talk about it and what you say to yourself. Yeah. So she said, she gave me a mantra, which was, I'm strong, I'm prepared, and this is easy. And I was in my car on the way there, and the driver was like chatting me up, and I go, I'm just going to start saying these three things to myself over and over, and I'm just injured right now. And so I just started saying, I'm strong, I'm prepared, this is easy. And I said it like 5,000 times yesterday. I was in the makeup chair just saying it under my breath. And then I was supposed to go to camera blocking. The girl was supposed to stand in for me again because I literally was crying in the makeup chair because I couldn't move. And everyone was just like, and you know, everyone's like, you got to stop crying. Like, it's not a good, like, the producers are going to catch on. You might not be. It's like, it's kind of, you're not safe. You're not safe to cry, but it's also like they are really worried about you. So you just don't know who to trust. That's like, right. Just what, like, you're supposed to do.
We don't want the public to know that this could be super painful.
Yeah, yeah.
For people, we want people to think that it's all just dressing
but
up.
But then
and
they also were like, we want on camera how bad it is.
Yeah,
but
they
then other people are
the
like,
camera crew. When
other people are
in.
Like, don't put that on camera. So I was getting all these, like, am I injured or not, guys? I just want to tell the truth. I'm in a lot of pain and I don't know if I can dance and I might leave the show. I was almost thinking, can I maybe leave the show before I compete and then maybe come back next season so that I'd never even competed and maybe that will
like
be
a feel good story.
And I'll actually have some dancing experience like everyone else on the show besides me and maybe one person.
And Joe or
and so it wouldn't give it an unfair advantage. Like I would still come in with way less than most of the people on the show.
Yeah.
But they were like, no, you can't do that. So I started, so then I went to the, anyway, I went to the camera blocking and the girl that was standing in for me started kind of like showing me some stuff that she was choosing to do with the dance. And I was like, how did you do? Because I watched her the day before. And I'm like, I like the way you looked in the camera. Like, teach me that look. And I started kind of running it. And I was like, actually, I'm feeling good. And I was like, I'm strong. I'm prepared. This is easy. And
it works.
And then I was able to do it. And Tom Bergeron, the host of the show, watched the rehearsal and was like, he couldn't believe that the state I was in the day before and that morning versus what I was able to do. And then he was so nice after the live show when the cameras went, when we went to commercial, he literally grabbed me and was like, I can't believe how you've like improved. He was like, based on yesterday and then camera blocking today, that was such an improvement. And he was like, and then since then it was such an improvement. He was so nice and made me feel so good. I needed him. He like really is the greatest man ever. Tom
he looks
Bergeron.
Like a real, I mean, I have no idea who this guy is, but he looks like a real sweetheart.
I saw him in the hallway on the way out and he was dressed in street clothes. And I was like, he seems like a nice guy. He was just wearing like tennis shoes. He just looked like a dad.
Undercover Tom.
Yeah. Ooh, I smell a sitcom.
I love that man so much. He really really, there were a couple people yesterday that were key in making me feel just great after the performance. Because there was a lot. Oh, there was a lot of great job. Like there was a lot of people, other dancers trying to be nice.
Yeah.
And you just saw that they were like, I will say one person came up to me unwarranted, hugged me and goes, at least you tried. That's all that matters.
Who said that?
And on camera, I almost was like hoping they caught it on camera because I couldn't help my face. The person turned around and I literally made a face like, bitch, what? Like,
wow.
I literally made a face like, if they would have caught it, it would be controversial.
Hang on, are we talking, this is someone involved in the show?
Yes.
This is a dancer.
A competitor.
This was live on camera, and this person is very, very nice, generally, to me. And
what initials would they have?
Like, they couldn't help themselves. They go,
GSJ.
If all that matters is that you chose that.
Grocery store Joe.
That's another one of my questions.
Yes,
why is he called grocery store
because he owns
Joe?
A grocery store.
He owns a grocery store.
Carlisle asked last night.
Can you give me a little bit more background?
Tom, because solving that for everybody.
He's a Bachelor contestant, and that it was his, like, he owned a grocery store. One of the other contestants hated him, and he's like, oh, good luck with Grocery Store Joe. And so,
and that's how he got that
so he
name.
I think
slur,
that's what he,
yeah.
Turned
I
a
really,
slur into a positive, like when people call me Mr. Rigid.
Like, yes.
I actually love that.
I gotta say that I'm in the same boat, so I'm tooting my own horn, but like, he's not a good dancer, and neither am I. And the people that do this show that aren't good dancers we deserve more respect for what we're doing.
I think that's what the
show's
about.
Anyone gives us, because it's like,
it
I want to
like
say to Len Goodman, I want to say to him, what are you worst at, Len? What are you worst
stand
at?
Stand up, probably.
Well, I want you to go do that. Would you ever have the balls to do that on national TV?
Love to see you do a half pipe routine on a skateboard.
Yes.
You don't have to do a 1080. Just some basic lip stuff.
And I know that's
then
not
he just
what
kills it. We're like, oh shit,
God
this
damn
is
it.
Awesome.
We should have actually waited till he answered what he's worst at.
Yeah.
He's hustled us. He's like, that's the one thing I can do.
Really judged him early there. But is he the middle judge?
He's the middle. He's the older man that's like the Simon Cowell type guy. Well, and it's just like, what?
As an Australian, it's funny like watching because I'm from another country. I don't know who anyone is except you on the show.
Yeah. Mm.
So I'm watching.
You're not alone, by the way.
I'm gonna be like, I didn't know them.
I'm watching these three judges, and I'm like, this is so funny watching someone speak with an air of like total impunity and authority, which works, I guess, if you're speaking to an audience of like, oh my God, that's Rhonda Dance-a-Lot. She's 9-time ballroom dancing champion. But to me, I'm just like, hey, give her a fucking break. Yeah. She was incredible out there.
Yeah.
And like, I want to see you be a bit more deliberate or whatever the hips comment was. I'm like, guys.
Oh, my God.
She just did 5,000 things in a row with no mistakes.
Yeah.
I mean,
like people win video game championships for that.
That's the thing.
If you were playing DDR, we would have been like, oh, shit. Like,
yes.
You would have had so many bonuses.
Yeah. From a gamer's perspective, that's all you have to do. Just do a lot of stuff in a row with no mistakes. Yeah. For like to win Pac-Man.
That's how I felt. Yeah.
But your personality, I mean, you were the only one that got a legit laugh during speaking to the judges. Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I tried.
I just have a lot of respect because I know you've from a non-dancing world, you're in a dancing world, they're saying stuff like, you know, hey, you've got to, like it's the most obvious thing in the world. They're like, hey, when you're dancing the salsa, you know, it's all about the hips. It's like, hey, when you're driving on the road, you got to stay in your lane. Yeah. Like, it's like stuff we all know.
Yeah.
But it's not stuff anyone knows. And with all due respect to how the professionalism of dancing, a lot of people don't really care about
it. No.
So everyone's sitting there being like.
That's my point.
It would be very hard to not just be like, I appreciate your feedback, but I don't really care about that.
I guess you can't do that on the show, probably.
When I know I'm going to go, I might have a moment like that. Of like, because I have said it in the studio to Gleb. I'm like, he's like, well, you need to turn out your foot. And I go, why?
Yeah.
I've literally said, can you explain? He goes, because it looks better. And I go, no, it doesn't. To me, it doesn't.
You know what looks good? Confetti cannons. Get me 10 of them. Right now, because if I'm going out, I'm spending all my prop money on one dance. I want confetti cannons. I want rings of fire. I want 5 people in animatronic lion suits jumping around me. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm going to stand there and have $1 million of props rain down around me. Then we'll see who wins.
I would have loved that. I do. If I last in the competition, we have a couple gimmicks coming up that are really fun. Nothing like building a car on set for me to open a car door and then close it. We have an Uber themed dance.
The lights flash twice.
Yeah. I'm gonna bring my little ring that with the light on it for you tonight.
Yeah,
I kept mine.
What was that from?
I think it was for Tinashe.
Yeah, for Tinashe.
They have little pink lights, like rings that you had to wear on your hand and like bounce your hand back and forth.
Give me a break. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, she got
a sign with her name on it and props for the audience.
The audience all had props, and we were supposed to give them back. But
mine. Who's running your prop game, Glazer? Because I want that guy fired.
I'm going to hand
I'm
out our condoms.
I'm furious. That would be so great. Yes.
Yeah. Could you get everyone to do that thing where you pull the condom down over your nose and inflate it over your head so the whole crowd just has.
That would be amazing.
All right, guys, for Nikki's dance, sorry to everyone that's worked hard on their hair. I know we've got a lot of like grandparents and stuff and contestants in the audience, but we need everyone to do this. It's going to look great.
It's going to be really funny.
That was Hamish Blake. When I was still in studio on Tuesday, I had to leave to go into makeup and hair for Dancing with the Stars that night. So I had to leave studio. Who took my place? My parents. My parents were in town in LA for Dancing with the Stars. They came into studio and had so much fun with everyone. Apparently, Hamish asked my mom during her Gossip Corner segment for some local gossip. And here's what happened in that conversation.
We've got Mama and Papa Glazer in the studio.
Yeah, not only Julie's corner, it's EJ's corner too.
So, as a freshman to this, the equivalent is, as a brand new person to this segment, is this when you give a celebrity gossip? To
not really celebrity gossip because just I know nothing. Once again, this song does say
she kind of knows what's going on.
She kind of knows, and it's really I don't know.
So it
anything.
Could be like what's happening in St. Louis.
It's
like
just whatever is going on.
Like what's going on?
Yeah, what's tickling your fancy today? Is anything in the news that's striking
I really
you?
Should have come prepared.
No, it's okay.
What what's the big talk like at home in your street, like in your neighborhood?
Yeah, there we go.
That's what I'd like to hear about.
Yeah, local news.
What is going on in St. Louis at the moment?
Well, they're working on our street.
Well, you know that.
And it's a mess.
Okay, this is good.
Now we're cooking.
It's all torn up. And you can't park on our street right now.
But no, this is what I want.
Because there
this is
no,
the gossip.
There is.
No, we were walking our dog a couple years ago, though, Julie. Remember this? We were walking our dog.
This is what I want.
A couple years ago.
Radio shows. We'll have this today.
And we ran into a neighbor who has since moved away, and she said, you know, there's a rumor in the neighborhood that you guys are swingers.
Oh, God.
Oh, now we're cooking. This is the sort of gossip I wanted to hear.
And we're like, what the hell are you talking about? And she's like, that's what some of the neighbors are talking about. Because we have parties at our house, and sometimes people
drop their keys off into a bowl.
Just because we exchange partners once or twice. What's the big deal?
It's bullshit. That's only happened once. Sometimes people will drink too much. They'll spend the night at the house.
Yeah.
And we have extra bedrooms. The kids are gone now.
So I do not believe that's why it is.
And we are.
Why do you think it is?
We are kind of the bohemians of the neighborhood, kind of. Yeah.
Hang on. Can I just ask? So, EJ, you were walking the dog, just by yourself?
No, with Julie.
Oh, with Julie. Right. Okay. And it was just a solo woman that
this
asked
woman
you
who was.
Well,
kind of,
we knew her.
Julie,
in your opinion,
could she have plausibly had a thing for EJ?
Was she testing the waters?
She was testing the waters.
Yeah, she might have moved.
I think she does this in every neighborhood.
She has since moved.
I heard you guys are swingers in the hopes that she's going to
win. No.
Hey, I heard you're a pot dealer. Is that? No. Right. Hey, I heard you were a pot dealer.
Never thought about that.
No, I will tell you why I think this story circulated. And I think only Val knew that. But here's the real question. I don't know if you guys know who Greg Warren is.
I love Greg Warren.
I hope he's from your street. He's actually
from down the street.
he leads the neighborhood watch. You know him.
His keys are still in the bowl.
We don't know what happened to him.
Whose Volvo CX-30 keys it is?
Greg is a great comedian. He has a half hour on Comedy Central and more. Check his albums out. One star reviews. He just had
the kind of a name where it could be the guy from down the street that's always calling the council.
Old Greg Warren, yeah. Greg Warren, years ago, he used to do comedy with Nikki in St. Louis, and he's from St. Louis. Anyway, he decided we had a hot tub in our backyard. So Greg needed some props and a place to. So Nikki's like, can you host Greg Warren? And he wants to do a little film in our backyard about this single guy who just has no friends or no girlfriends and just has guys in the hot tub all the time. The next thing you know, there is a whole production company in our backyard.
That was at you guys' place?
That was our house.
I've seen that film.
And it went on till like 3 o'clock in the morning. I was like, yay, let's do this. And this will be fun. So I made all these different dishes for everybody to eat. And I was like so excited. Well, it went into the wee hours of the morning, and there's lights, and there's train tracks in the
with cameras.
Yeah, cameras flowing along.
Julie and I are in the upstairs window, and I said, you know, our neighbors probably think we're shooting a porno.
Yeah,
we're filming a swingers party.
I'm sure that's where the leaves are off the trees,
and everybody can see. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah, so it looked like a porno film was being filmed there in the hot tub. So I'm sure that's where this all came from.
I forgot about that.
No, that's why. I swear that's why Val said that. So anyway, screw
I
Val.
I love that we've name checked Val.
I want to hear more Val.
Val's the neighborhood gossip.
She moved away,
so that's why you can say her name.
So glad she moved.
Give us any other rumors you heard from Val. What else was? Was she embroiled in any other like neighborhood? I mean, if you guys were swingers, you don't have to use real names here, but. Was there any other like a scandal of equivalent nature like that in your neighborhood?
No, our neighborhood is so boring.
Okay,
so we were kind of happy about this little rumor. Let them guess.
Give us an example of like what would be a large neighborhood crime, like an overgrown front yard, or
What would really piss people off?
Like what would get the neighbors talking? Apart from shooting a porno.
Has there been any drama in your neighborhood like
no.
that?
No. Oh, EJ, remember that guy who shot his wife?
Oh, my God. This really jumped up a
notch. I think that would qualify as neighborhood gossip.
Remember the crazy guy who chased his... There was a big festival. We live right next to a big church, a Catholic church. And we were in Costa Rica at the time. But we heard on the
national
news...
Scouting for porno locations?
Scouting for porno locations. How did you know there's no taxes there?
And,
we're up on this mountaintop at this, you know.
We don't have to pay the employees.
Things are getting a little bit hot in the neighborhood.
We live near a Catholic church, and this guy, we were in Costa Rica, and a friend of ours, somebody got shot on your street, or right next to our street. This guy waited for his wife, and his wife had moved out, and they were getting a divorce. His wife was going to the fish fry with two kids in the backseat of the car with her friend. Oh, he jumped out of a street with a gun, stopped them, and shot both of them.
Oh my God.
And then he hopped in, he got in his car and drove away, and the cops chased him, and he drove off a overpass. His car flipped over and he died.
Wow.
Jeez. It was all so on the news.
Yes, but there was some gossip that you told me, and Nikki set this up before you leave. Before she left, she didn't want me to tell the story. So I've had this Sarah McLachlan CD stuck in my car.
Wonderful transition from the
This is what she said before she left. And it is gossip.
This is gossip.
Yeah. So Nikki said that this particular Sarah McLachlan CD is always going to remind her of Dancing with the Stars. Now, because we've been listening to it ad nauseum. So, of course, the Glazers have had to hear it as I'm driving them around. And Nikki's mom goes, "Oh, my friend had an affair to this CD." Yeah.
That's a soundtrack
and I'm like,
of an affair.
I can't stand the CD either. I said, this reminds me of my friend having her affair and she got caught. And she used to tell me, oh, you know, I gave him head on this song. And whatever.
Like a DVD commentary.
I know we're on Sirius Radio, so I can say this.
Well, with Sarah McLachlan, you know they did a Doggy Style.
Oh, good one, EJ. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, that album drives me crazy too. I'm like, I used to love that album until she told me these stories.
Why would you tell someone about like the specifics of track marking?
Oh, yeah. Well, because she's a friend.
Also, no, but so hang on.
Track marking is the interesting. Yeah.
So she would be like every time track three comes on, we'd switch. Was it like a choreographed?
I know.
Forty-five minutes of adventurous sex.
I think when she told me this, she's like, "Oh, this is our album," and I'm like, "Oh, this song. Oh,
it's so dead." Literally, crazy. A song came on, and Julie goes, "I think this was the blowjob song."
Yeah, I don't know. It just brings back this bad was, memories for
this
me.
Was the premature ejaculation song. This one's over here.
I'm sure so each song had something.
I've never heard of that. Someone picking an album and being like, that's the album.
That's the album.
My Affair.
This is the of My Affair.
Maybe they have the same CD player you have. It was just stuck on
the loop. Yeah, it was stuck on the loop.
That was the same car.
Yeah.
Yep. They had that affair.
You bought it used, didn't you?
Yeah.
I would clean that car well. No, just kidding.
What happened with the affair? Just, I mean,
busted. Yeah, she got caught. I think she was really just trying to get caught, and he followed her into a.
And she got caught to Will
Victoria's
Smith's
Secret.
Millennium.
Yeah, she got caught to Shaggy's Wasn't Me.
They were holding hands coming out of Victoria's Secret.
And the husband caught her.
Holding hands in public, huh? That's a bold move.
Like, walking out of Victoria's Secret.
That's a bold move.
There's a lot of explanations to that.
I should jump to conclusion.
He's the manager of Victoria's Secret. I think I might work here, but I've got chili in my eye. He's walking me to the bathroom. I can't see.
You know,
that's what she said.
I had a guy that worked for me whose wife managed at Victoria's Secret, and she said, and this guy told me, he said, it's crazy. Everybody gets caught all the time making love in the dressing rooms of Victoria's Secret.
Oh, I get it.
You go like, hey, honey, try this on. And they're like, oh my God.
They're all getting it on. And
well, also, just the Victoria's Secret just gets people horned up, I think. I remember as a kid walking by it and be like, oh, sex. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Or just seeing the model outside and be like, mom doesn't know I'm into this, but I'm secretly into this. And every mom is walking with their 15-year-old going, stop looking at that. Fucking creep.
Yeah.
I remember talking, this is a slight. In terms of like having an affair, I had a friend that worked in like a high end, like a Prada or something, like in Sydney, in Australia. And I was like, what? Like, you must see people coming in dropping like crazy amounts of money, like fresh from the casino or whatever, like whales and stuff. By far, they're like one of the biggest kind of customers we have are guys coming in on business and paying cash for like a crazy handbag or a necklace. Paying cash, like 10 grand or whatever it is, getting it all wrapped up, and then buying something small, because they've always got your name, like your account, buying something small on credit,
And that's like, for the wife.
The cash gift is for the mistress.
Wow.
And then they're also covering with like, and give us like a $400 key ring for like the wife. And then that goes on the account in case it ever gets checked.
No but, idea, ZJ.
Wow. Yeah. His wheels are turning.
EJ's, yeah, EJ's what are you texting? They're on to me. They're on to me. Burn my account.
She knew she has find a friend. She knew I was in a Prada store. So I had.
That was my mom and Hamish Blake and my dad and Carlisle Forrester and Noah and the whole gang without me. I'm so proud of the show that we've made because I can step out and things can just function as normally and be a hilarious show. I love it so much. Again, if you're not listening to the show on SiriusXM, you can listen now. You can get a 30-day trial membership for free at SiriusXM.com. Download the app, or you could listen to the show on the app for free for 3 days every month. So, and Sirius is really cheap. Guys, just look into it. Get it. We do 8 hours of content every week. It's so much fun. Join the show. Ian Fidance and Andrew Collin are here with me now. We just recorded an episode today that you're about to hear a clip from with Kevin Hart.
Woo!
How was it for you guys?
I was disappointed because I thought I would be more connected and he would help me out in the business. Ian?
Truly, did you really think that would happen?
I thought, no, of course not. But I thought he was incredible.
Yeah,
I mean,
he
was. You see why he's so engaging. It was like, I don't know, you're like mesmerized. You're like watching like
a brilliant
guy. And like I felt better. Like he really did motivate me.
Confident.
He's so confident. He's very
fuck it. That's what I got. Fuck it. That's what he said. And it was like, I don't know. It was
holding on to stuff that you don't, that rejection. It's like it's never made you a better person to hold on to that stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's all learn a lesson from Kevin Hart right now. Ian, what did you get from it? You're just staring at me.
Well, you look nice today.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah,
are those dead people's clothes?
They will be someday.
Nah.
Because I'll die.
And then I'll get them.
We'll all die and fuck it till then. That's what I got
yes.
out of it today.
Yeah. It was a really fun interview. Here it is. You love! I was voted off of Dancing with the Stars 2 nights ago. I was the first contestant eliminated.
It's a big story around here, actually.
It's huge. Sweeping the hallways of SiriusXM.
Very, very huge story. As I was walking up, they said, are you going to go on there? Just notice you just got voted off of Dancing with the Stars, so don't say nothing about that.
TMZ is in the hallway.
I was like, I wasn't.
She'd have a lot of resentment towards you.
I thought that's the last thing that I would have said, but now she bring it up. It makes it an interesting topic.
Have you ever done anything where you've agreed to it and it's been something that is... What's been the scariest endeavor you've taken on professionally, I guess?
Scariest endeavor?
Where you've had the most fear, because I've never danced before in my life, and I was like, I'm about to do something I know I'm terrible at on national television. Have you done something like that? And how did you feel on the other side of it?
Tons.
Yeah.
Then tons of things.
What's been the most nervous you've been, or the most like, oh shit, do I have this
the
moment
most
in
nervous?
Your career?
It's going to sound crazy, but I'm probably the most confident person in the world. So even when I've been like, holy cow, there's no way, I still would put on the face like I'm okay. Like, I did Fool's Gold. It was a movie called Fool's Gold that we had to film in Australia. Uh-huh. And I lied. They were like, are you okay with water? Are you okay getting water? Yes. Like, I'm actually an excellent swimmer. You know, like, this is a true story.
Yeah.
I made it to the Junior Olympics.
Yes.
I'm a fucking excellent
swimmer. What was your stroke?
100 meter backstroke, 50 meter freestyle.
Nice.
My prime, and for a minute, when between my ages of like 12 and 15, was individual medley. 100 meter IM.
Yeah.
That's when I was like really, really moving. But I was real deal.
Yeah.
Swam like a 20.2, 50 meter freestyle.
Jeez.
In yards. 100 meter backstroke, I was probably in like the 53, 54 range. I was pretty good.
Real good.
This is all, you can go find this information.
Yeah.
It's online.
I don't know what any of that means, but that
swim
sounds
talk.
Really
fast.
Good.
Swim talk.
Yeah, swim talk.
That's why my back is so amazing. But in the movie Fool's Gold, I don't like the ocean. Like, unless I know like where I am in the ocean and what is in here, and I've heard it specifically, I don't like the ocean. Australia is a different ball game when it comes to the ocean. Because everything is there. Everything is in Australia.
Great white sharks.
So, you know, they're like, hey, are you okay with getting in the ocean? Like, you gonna be there? I was like, yeah. You know, I just wanted the job.
Yeah.
Man, this scene came up, and they were like, all right, this is where you fall in the water. And I was like, huh? And it was like these air Ganges that we kept hearing about, which is like the most deadliest jellyfish in the world, but we had heard rumors that they were in the water. Man, I said, guys, I don't know. And he was like, what do you mean you don't know? I was like, I just don't know. I feel like it's Eric Ganji in there. Like, they were like, yeah, but you said you were okay with the ocean. I was like, no, I know I said that. I definitely said that. And he was like, well, you got to get in. And I was like, I just want to talk to y'all about it. I don't know if we need this moment. Do we really need it? I like tried to backtrack. And instantly, I said, okay, let's do it. And I did about 13 of the worst takes that you've ever seen. And you're like, you edited out the movie. It was so bad. But I knew it. Like, as I'm doing it, I was like, oh, this isn't going to see the light of day. I'm not even acting. Like, yes. This is complete fair. I'm supposed to be the tough guy in this situation. I'm not pulling it off at all. That was the most uncomfortable I've ever been. But afterwards, I was like, that is what it is. Shoulder shrugged it. Can't change it.
You can't change it.
Can't change
it.
They saw it. All right.
I know. On to the next thing.
Put that in your back pocket.
Yeah. I mean, but... Because getting voted off a reality show, being the first one voted off, like I lost. Like I lost the most. It's got to be somebody, right?
It's got to be somebody.
What's the most rejection? What do you do when you feel that level of rejection, which is like, this is the worst I could do, and it happened. My biggest fear happened.
What level? I've experienced every level of rejection.
Has it ever got you down in a way where you really had to overcome it?
I'll give you two good ones.
Yeah.
Comic strip, Lucian. Yeah. Lucian, what was the last name? Holtz? Was it Holtz or Holtz?
I wasn't around for that, but yeah.
Lucian, legend for picking talent.
Yeah.
Is the man that discovered Eddie Murphy. Lucian. Kevin, you got an audition at the comic strip. Oh my God. I've been killing all around town. I got into every comedy club. Comic strip was last. They saved the best for last. I'm going here and I'm going to kill. I go perform. Crowd goes crazy. I can admit that my jokes back then weren't that groundbreaking. This wasn't a cutting edge material, but it was good. It was good enough.
Yeah.
I'm a young comic. I'm 24.
Oh my God.
After you get off stage, Lucian calls you in the back room and he sits you down so you can find out if you pass. Oh, I've never been more confident in my life. This is it. And Lucian had a disease, and I remember, you know, his hands and stuff were taped up. I forgot what the disease was, but like, things would fall off, like limbs were falling off. This isn't making a joke.
Leprosy?
Disease. Yes.
Yeah.
Like this was real.
Right.
Like, you know, so he had bandages and stuff for him, but it didn't matter. Like this guy's a legend.
Yeah.
In his most vulnerable state of, you know, the last stages of the disease that he was dealing with, this man told me, he said, comedy isn't for you. And I was like, huh? I mean, what? Huh? You know, I'm waiting for the punchline. He said, maybe you should pursue something else. Maybe find a job. But I don't see swimming. It's so calm. I just don't see you doing this long. I'm like, what? I'm like, what are you talking? I don't understand.
He's and like, you just killed.
I just killed. He's like, that's not. I just don't see talent. I just so I'm not gonna pass you.
Oh.
And I sat there for a second, and I remember his hands were like up in the air, like they had tape on them. I could have said mean things. I could have been like, you know, I could have said a lot of stuff. I stared at him for a minute. And he was like, "Thank you." He kicked me out, like within this condition. Thank you. And I was like, "That's it?" He's like, "Yes, that's it." Like. I get up, I walk out, and my friend Keith Robinson is outside. And Keith's like, what'd he say, stupid? And I was like, he told me I should get a regular job. He told me that this isn't for me. This is not a good job. Like, I should find something else. And Keith's honest reaction, he was like, fuck him. I was like, huh? Like, fuck him. So what, stupid? Let's get something to eat. And Keith is my mentor. This is like the guy who's been giving me advice or whatever. He didn't blink two eyes.
Yeah.
He wasn't devastated at all. And he said, let's get something to eat. And it was like nothing happened. And instantly I processed that moment as, what is that? Am I going to stop because of that information? So what am I holding on to?
Right.
I immediately let it go and we ate. And I was fine. We went up at a spot later that day, and I just went to the comedy clubs that accepted me and worked those, and the comic strip eventually found out, and then they called me later on. But I learned at the young age of 23, 24 to say fuck it. Mm. So many people can't say fuck it. So many people allow emotion to overtake reality. Fuck it is reality. What just happened 30 seconds ago, I cannot change. I don't have that power. I don't know how to go back in time.
You'll figure it out. And go, if anyone can figure out the power to go back and change.
If I could, I would, but I can't. Yes. I can't, you know, wave my hands and take that time back. It happened. That's why I address things the way that I do. That's why I have no problem with admitting right from wrong. I have no problem with being real and authentic. I'm a person.
Are you an apologizer? Is that come easy to you?
An apologizer.
Like if you're wrong, you know, they say never apologize for a joke. Or are you good? Are you good at being able to be like, you know, even in interactions with your kids or your mm-hmm. wife, or just saying I'm sorry. Are you a good apologizer? Because some people struggle with that.
The older you get, the more mature you get. That should happen. If it's not happening, then I suggest you sit yourself down and ask yourself why. Yeah. You're supposed to get more mature.
Yeah.
I've fucked up a lot. I've done a lot of wrong. And me doing wrong, I realize it's not just wrong, it's stupid. Okay, Kev, how do you grow from stupid? How do you grow? You embrace what you did, you own it, because you made that bed, so you lay in it. After you lay in it, you get out that bed and you say, you know what, I don't want to make this bed again for a long time.
Yes.
I don't want to make it again. So I'm now aware. I'm conscious. So when you say jokes or apologize for things you say on stage, I don't say things that are going to put me in a position to have to apologize because I'm aware. So the lesson taught to myself, be aware. Don't be ignorant to what can, because you can always prevent it before it happens. So before you put yourself in a position to apologize, there's a beat where you get to make a decision. Do I want to throw the shit at
Yes.
Do I want to say this? Do I want to call them this name? Do I want to use this term at this moment? Is there another route that I can take to get the same message across? There always is.
Do you still make those mistakes, though? And are you still willing to make those mistakes? Because I hear what you're saying, but when I mess up, it's sometimes hard to acknowledge it and apologize, because then I feel like an essentially flawed person. But what you're saying is, like, you can acknowledge that and say, no, I'm going to be better.
What's
from now.
What's wrong with being flawed?
That's a great point.
What's wrong with being flawed? So many people want to live a perfect life, and I hate that I'm coming off like such a motivational speaker, but I'm just saying real shit. So many people want to live a perfect life, but you have no idea what perfection is unless you've experienced imperfection.
Yeah.
You don't know what perfect is unless you've experienced imperfection. In other words, embrace your flaws. Embrace your fuck-ups. They help make you ultimately become the perfect person you want to be.
Yep.
But what individual do you believe that's perfect?
Sometimes you look and you go, they are perfect, but it's all just, I don't really know what's going on with them, you know?
What does it matter? So if you're saying, I don't want to be flawed, why? That's my question to you.
Because I don't want to hurt other people. I don't want to be misinterpreted and thought of as a bad person. Like, I think there's a fundamental part of a lot of us that just thinks, like, I'm secretly a bad person. People are going to find out.
You know what I think?
What?
I think you think too much.
Yeah, I do that.
I think you overthink a thought before it becomes a real thought. You're thinking about the thought behind the thought that may be, because I think that this could.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of shit that makes no sense. Like,
it's a waste of time.
You have no action yet. You're thinking about all this stuff before an action has even taken place.
Kevin Hart is here. He has a new movie out, Night School, which I haven't had a chance to see yet. Ian, you saw it.
Yeah.
You loved it.
Yeah. Did you like it, Ian?
It's coming out tonight.
It a lot, there's some funny parts in there, man.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about this movie. Yeah. Tiffany Haddish, Kevin Hart, what more could you ask for? Now, this is a movie about second chances, mm-hmm. is what I've heard.
Yeah, just what we were talking about.
That's crazy that it's honestly right on par with this conversation.
Well, tell me how so.
So, back to the point of, you know, what we were discussing, it's a movie about people that feel like, because they didn't get it right the first time, that there's no reason to go back and try again, because they don't want to be perceived as a person that failed. I don't want to look like I failed. I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to look like I couldn't do it, so I'm just going to not do it.
Yes. We're trying to lie to make it seem like you're not.
You're trying to create a false presentation of who you are, based on what you think the opinions of others will be. So in this movie, it basically shines a light on those type of individuals by looking through a lens of the character that I play named Teddy Walker, who's putting on a facade to a woman that he's very much in love with and making it seem like he's in a position that he's not. And when his charm and wit and personality runs out and he's in a situation where he's, his back is against the wall, he's forced to get his GED. He doesn't have a GED, but nobody knows. He has to, for the first time, apply himself like he's never had. While trying to hide it, ultimately he comes across other people like himself, and they band together and realize it's okay to be who we are.
Yeah.
And the piece of paper that we look at that can be considered the diploma has a much bigger meaning. That piece of paper makes you feel like, hey, I'm making steps in the right direction to succeed in life. This makes me feel like I can. That piece of paper at the older age that he was at put him in a position to feel like he now can.
So this movie is about doing things that you think you've already, it's too late to do them,
yeah.
But putting out an effort to do that. And by doing that, by just putting in the effort, maybe if you don't even get the piece of paper.
It's still the effort.
It's still the effort.
Keep going back. My guy doesn't. He doesn't get the piece of paper right away.
Yeah.
It's a funny failing. Beat yeah, yeah, yeah. of how he's failing.
GED's
but it's like,
a tough test.
Oh, no, 100%.
Yeah, tough test.
it's just saying, like, there's nothing wrong with failing. There's nothing wrong with
it. Especially later in life, too.
Kevin Hart, though, you think Kevin Hart and you go, this guy doesn't fail. It's so nice to hear that from you because the reason you seem like someone who doesn't fail is because you've failed so much and you have the attitude of someone that's that there's nothing wrong with that. That failure isn't failure.
It's not failure. It grooms you for the wins. Right now, I'm so determined to do so much because I know what the other side looks like. Now I know I can't lose because I have so much information on how to lose.
Yes.
So if I didn't take those losses, then I don't know how to properly take the wins.
And some people take the losses and then they just stop.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah. I'm not doing it again.
There's an analogy. My friend Scooter Braun, very, very good dude. Scooter Braun told me something one day and it stuck with me. He said, if I were to tell you that right now I'm giving out $5 million to the first average individual that can hit a home run with a pitch thrown by a major league pitcher, he said there's going to be a line that probably is the length of the entire city. There's going to be a line, crazy people lined up. The wait in that line could be days before you get up to bat. He said so many people are going to get in that line and they're going to strike out because this is a major league pitcher. And when they strike out, they have the opportunity to go back to the end of that line and wait again if they want to or not. Or they can go, no way I'm going to hit this pitch. Scooter said, the difference between me and everybody else in the world, I'm going to keep getting back in that line until they stop doing whatever it is they're doing.
Wow.
He said, I'm going to get back in that line and wait. He said, because that line is going to get shorter and shorter because nobody else is going to want to wait. When he said that, I immediately said to myself, I would be getting back in the line because that's the type of person I am.
Mm-hmm.
So with that analogy, it's a great moment for you to ask yourself, who are you? Do you wait in the line for 3 days to take three swings at a ball that's being thrown at 105 miles per hour? Or do you get up there for the first time and go, oh, there's no way I'm hitting that shit? It could all be based upon how many people quit, and then the last three people, they could get lives thrown at them.
Yeah.
Because they want to give the money away. You would never know because you turned your back away before you got to that point.
I'd be the person that pays someone to wait in line for me.
Yeah. And then just show.
It's
not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea.
And that was Kevin Hart on the podcast this week, on the show this week. What a get. What a great guy.
Yeah.
That was so much fun. That it just happened. I'm still kind of like, whoa.
Yeah.
Check out our social media to see pictures of us with Kevin Hart from that interview. We were very excited. We all snagged a picture
up.
At the end.
Yeah, me and
Andrew. Oh, you already posted yours?
Already posted. Yeah. We wanted to take the thunder from you.
guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast this week. Please rate and review and get your friends on board so that we get more people listening to the show. We love you. We love our Squirt Nation. That's what we call you guys. Squirt, squirt. And as always, we end the show with a secret because if you stay till the end, you get a little Easter egg. Yes. Ian, you want to start us off?
Sure. My secret is that I did think that Kevin Hart was going to see something in me.
You son of a bitch.
I thought there was
that was
be
my
a
secret
Philadelphia connection, and
yeah, he really just started that,
a,
and then it right went of, nowhere
right before he even sat down. Ian goes, "Laugh out."
I was a little eager beaver.
Listen, Kevin Hart can't help everyone. Yeah, he does a lot for a lot of people. Rainn Wilson saw something in you, and that has gone nowhere, but in the
not
moment it felt special.
Not
that's
yet.
What he saw.
It's he did contact my management in a dream I had.
Oh my god! I was like, "What? Oh, that'd be amazing."
That was great.
We all got so just. Andrew wasn't even laughing at how funny that it was. He was just delighted that that didn't really happen for you. He was so relieved. Andrew, what's your secret?
Well, that was mine too, but. I don't know. What did I do as a kid? I wrote a lot of poetry in college, like sad poetry about my mom drinking.
Well, you ever? Do you have it? Do you have any of it?
I wish my. I found my journal from when I was a kid.
Oh my God.
I found my journal and then I left it at my buddy's house and they were all reading it, like laughing at me.
Yeah.
And then they lost it and I was like, if you're gonna laugh at me, why the fuck did you lose? I was so angry because I thought you could see like my handwriting after my parents' divorce. Like the journal, like my penmanship was good, was decent at one point.
Aww.
And then like it gets to, and I would write like, you'd have to fill out 2 pages for school. And I would write really big and like two
they
lines and the same word.
School?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, they made me journal yeah. mine.
Oh,
that's
really?
Really cool.
It, you had to write, I am made in the likeness of God, therefore I am beautiful. You
I mean, that sounds like a call.
Oh, that's weird.
Every
that's
journal so cool. entry.
I think that's so cool that schools make kids journal. Yeah, journaling was, is
I
like so
I wish
important.
I still had it.
Yeah.
It's so funny when you read it back.
Oh, man. I wish I had some.
I'm going home this weekend. I'm going to find mine.
Yes, with, please like, bring them into the show next week. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
My secret is I sometimes like to hook up before I do a really like intense like performance or something. Like I like to like come a little bit. Because uh-huh. it'll like get or like get to a place where I'm about to come or something like just get my energy going. So I had my ex-boyfriend come by and finger me in my trailer before the second night of Dancing with the Stars.
While you were doing something else?
What do you
like,
mean?
Wait, you guys were like making out and he was fingering you or were you like
just
no, I was like
your
literally
dance moves reading while
no, no,
he's
no.
fingering you.
No, we were just like kind of hooking up.
Oh,
and I was okay. in my costume literally minutes from being pulled onto set. And and it's happening, okay? And then I realized my mic was on.
No.
And literally I'm being fingered. I'm on the brink of coming.
No.
And then I look down and my mic is right here and I just go, and he goes, and scene. That was a great rehearsal for that audition. Like, we just pretended that we were doing it. And I was like, and he goes, he just like said it in my chest. He's like, I'm sure the sound guy who's really cool will not ever do anything with this. And I'm like, they have tapes of Trump saying the N-word and they're not released. I don't think me coming on, who cares?
Right.
I would be, actually, I'd be glad if that footage got out. I didn't say anything wrong.
You'd be the first audio sex tape released.
Ooh, that's so good.
Yes.
And how fitting, because I do radio.
Yeah, it's perfect.
I hope my ex-boyfriend doesn't care that I said that, but.
You got fingered.
I know, but he fingered.
Yeah.
Isn't that illegal in California? Or they just passed a law.
For a man to finger a woman?
With gloves?
Yeah, in a trailer before she goes live on television.
If it's a movie trailer, it's fine.
Okay, good. No, it was a
regular
TV show.
Was it SAG?
Yeah, it was. It was after he was done with
God.
It.
Oh, God. I hope none of
saggy,
you heard right. this story.
It was droop.
Oh, that's saggy pad.
Let's cut this short so people
saggy
don't think they're...
Saggy or soggy?
No.
Was it
soggy? I was saggy and soggy.
Yeah, you were.
Great memory though. Okay.
And you had the shit still.
Yeah, that's right. You got to listen to the live show to understand that reference of everyone. But, all right, guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Rate, review, subscribe, get your friends on board, get a serious subscription. We love you. Tweet at us. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.